young girl called Rachel, and this happened in Ipoh. Anybody been to Ipoh? You've been to Ipoh, right? It's on the way to Penang. So there's this young girl. She was only about 7 years old at that time. Anybody seven? Seven? Yeah. So she was 7 years old at that time. So I prayed for her, and the anointing of God touched her, and she fell down. 20 minutes later, she got up. You know, when a kid lies down for 20 minutes, you know that anointing is genuine. So 20 minutes later, she got up. She ran to her mom. Her mom took her to the pastor, and the pastor came to see me. They said, when Rachel was down, Jesus came to see her. Hello? Listen, I seen the anointing on some of you just now when you were raising your hands up. I seen the anointing on you. And just like Rachel, God's going to touch you guys today. Okay, so Jesus came to see her, and Jesus spoke to her. So Rachel is really, really shy. And so I said to Rachel, I says, while you were lying down, did something happen? I says, what happened?
Vision.
I says, what type of vision?
Jesus came.
I says, really? I said, did Jesus speak? And she's really shy. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, be a good girl. Be a good girl. Love your mommy and daddy. I thought, wow, that's so good. Say amen, la. Okay, so Jesus said, be a good girl. Love your mommy and daddy. So I thought, you know, that's really cool. That's really nice. But, okay, so Jesus appears to her. The pastor says, cool, you don't understand. When she was 6 days old, the mother gave the baby to the pastor. This happened in Ipoh. Gave the baby to pastor. And the mother was from the hospital, ran out the window, jumped off the window from the ground floor, and went off to Indonesia. The father is a disabled guy. So now the pastor has a kid. And so the pastor started praying who to give the kid to. And so the pastor, after a few months, gave it to a couple who couldn't have babies themselves and gave it to this couple. And now this couple adopted the baby. 7 years later, Jesus speaks to Rachel and says, be a good girl. Love your mommy and daddy. In that sentence, God was saying, this is the real mommy and daddy of Rachel. Can you imagine how great the mother felt that God said, this is your Rachel, not your step Rachel, but your Rachel? Amazing, eh? Kids, God wants to touch you more and more powerfully. So are you going to Sunday school or are you going to stay here? Sunday school, wow. When do they get dismissed, Pastor? Whenever they're ready. So next time, remember, after I finish preaching, you can come back and I like to pray for you, okay? Say, okay la. Hallelujah. Bless you. Bye-bye. Thank you so much, Pastor David, for having me. I really believe this is the timing of God. And so God's going to do some amazing things. I only came in last night. I've come in from Melbourne. And you know that airline with the word star on it? J Star. You know that they lost my luggage. No, it's not funny. 50% of my luggage is missing, so I've got a Bible from my sister, and my shampoo and all the other things were lost somewhere in transit. Probably end up in Timbuktu somewhere, wherever that is. And so I hope to get it back today. So this morning I had a shower and I used my sister's shampoo. You know, first one I picked up for curly hair. Has it worked yet? Second one I picked up, It says for long, smooth hair. So it's not working on my head, but it's probably worked on my beard because I never had a beard this morning. Hey, laugh, laugh. I'm Malaysian born, but I only spent 16 years in here. I was supposed to be born in Australia. My father was studying in Australia, in Adelaide, but my grandmother was dying in Malaysia, and so my mom came back while she was pregnant with me, and I was born in Ipoh. Any Ipoh people here? Thank you, brother. We'll have a chendol afterwards. Yeah, and so when I was 3 months old, went back to Australia and stayed there for the first 5 years. And then my dad decided to come back and work for a company in the government over here in KL. You know JKR? Jangan kacau raja. Hey, if you don't laugh, you stand in the corner. And so I lived here from 5 to 21. And then instead of going to Australia to study there, because in those days education was free in Australia, but instead of going to Australia to study where I got accepted in the university, God took me on a detour and I went off to Scotland, got married there to a nice, beautiful girl. Been married now for 39 years, hallelujah. Amen. I met her in a very holy place, in a disco. You know, John Travolta, anybody remember? Yeah. I was almost the same as John Tada Ota. And so we got married as non-Christians. I was studying engineering, come out from a professional engineering electronics background. My wife was at university, so we met there. It's amazing because we were non-Christians, but God put us together. I said we were non-Christians, but God put us together. I tell you a little bit, give me 2 or 3 minutes. Will ya? Okay. It was a miracle we met. Number one, you know how we Malaysians, we have a funny way of speaking. Not you, I'm speaking about the other church. You know, I never used to pronounce my words very well. You know, everybody can, no problem. Can, you know what I mean. You know, very, very much like that. My wife had a very, very strong Scottish accent. So that's what, number one, that it was a miracle for us to get together. Number two is we were in a disco. You know how a disco is, music's really loud. You don't know, you're so holy, hallelujah, God bless you. Number three, I was filled with the Spirit. John was my best friend, Johnny Walker. So I was mabok kaki. My wife is innocent, pure and holy. Bless her heart. And all these circumstances, yet week after week after week, I used to go back there and meet her. And 1.5 years later, we got married. So for the first 9 years, all was good. And then we had identical twins who died. They died 1 day old and 2 days old. Identical twin girls. To cut a long story short, I became a Christian through that process because every other God didn't answer me. I was brought up as a Punjabi, did all my Punjabi prayers. But when my kids died, nobody answered me. I asked for help from above and nothing happened. I used to pray into the Hinduism prayers. My sister became a Hindu, my elder sister, and she said all her prayers were being answered. If you want your prayers to be answered, then you become a Hindu as well. So every Tuesday, I did the Hindu prayers. Every other day, I did my Punjabi prayers. Like religious rojak. And so when my kids died, that whole process is too long to share with you today. But a year and a half later, after they died, Jesus physically appeared to me, between me and this pulpit, physically appeared to me. The kids who had died that small, in 1.5 years in heaven, had grown up to about this size. And he physically spoke to me, and that was my real conversion that happened there. The day after that, I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and me and Johnny Walker got a divorce. Hallelujah. Amen. And so the full story is in my book. This book helps me to go from nation to nation to nation. And so I tell the full story in my book, but I also tell of what God's doing through the ministry. 80% of this ministry is about healing and miracles. That's what I focus on. And the reason I focus on that, please excuse me, the reason I focus on that is 80% of the church is not well. Every church I go to, 80% of the people respond for prayer because we all are looking for God to touch us. Even in this room today, filled with beautiful people, we all have at least one need. Only one lady there. Everybody else, huh? You're so holy, lah. Hallelujah. Come on, everybody here got problems. Everyone has a problem, from the youngest to the oldest. I just came back from New Zealand, and I did a Baptist church camp. I was there for 10 days. The last 3 days was a Baptist church camp. And 10 people became Christians at a camp. Nine of them, hallelujah. Nine of them are young people, youth, that never go to church. They were invited. Pastor Stefan, can you pass this to Dr. David? Dr. David, I just promoted you. Hallelujah. Somewhere within the next 3 years that you're going to travel, somebody's going to give you an honorary degree, doctorate somewhere in your travels. Hallelujah. Right from this morning when I met Pastor, I just kept thinking, Dr. David, Dr. David. So, hallelujah. If I give you... amen, amen, amen. So, I got so much to share with you, but what I'm saying is this. Every one of us, we have a need, and our need is to take one step closer to Jesus. One step closer to His glory. One step closer to revival in ourselves, in our families, with our children, with our children's children. I tell you what, this is coming a day, and I believe it's here very soon, where the old is being moved away. The old, busy, busy, busy. How are you? I'm busy. How are you? I'm tired. I'm so tired. So tired. Come on, la. Don't look so holy, la. We are all tired. In fact, if you ask any of the Chinese people, the word busy, B-U-S-Y, in Chinese, the character is meng. Meng means death to the soul. Okay, I go to the Mandarin church. You guys wait here. I just... All of us are the same. We are so busy. I'm traveling the nation from here to there to here to there. I'm tired. I'm too busy. In fact, about 2.5 years ago, God spoke to me so clearly. He says, cool, a lot of things are happening in your ministry. I said, yeah, thank you, Lord. It's all up to you. He says, you're so busy. I say, yes, Lord, thanks to you. Because I live by faith. I don't get paid by a church or anything like that. I have my own organization called Fire and Rain, but I don't get paid by a church. So God said to me, a lot of miracles are happening. I say, thank you, Lord. He says, I miss you. Huh? He said, I miss you. You're too busy. I want to spend some time with you. I said, sorry, Lord, too busy. Seriously, I'm not kidding with you. That was in about July. In August, I was supposed to go to Indonesia for a month. And then I was coming back for about 3 weeks. And then I was going to go to Europe, I think it was, Belgium, for about 6 weeks. And then I was coming back and I was doing another trip to Malaysia, whatever it is, I forget now. And then by another one trip later, I was going to come back December, then I'll be at home. And I felt that God says, I want to meet with you. Can give you 5 minutes, huh? And I felt that He's present. No, His presence never leaves us, right? He never forsakes us. You know that, right? Good morning. Yeah. But I felt His anointing just left a little bit. I said, okay, I'm home for 2 weeks. I'll fast for 7. Fast and seek Him. Spend time with Him for 7 days. I felt He was very quiet. Okay. 10 days. 10. Felt Him very quiet. Okay, 12 days now. 12 days. You know, I felt Him very quiet. I said, what am I going to do? I'm only home for 2 weeks. What am I going to do? He was very quiet. And I said, okay, I'll spend my extended fast, you know, a 40-day fast. But this time, I'll only drink this. I hate this. I like Coca-Cola. I like milkshakes and fruit juice kind of thing when I'm fasting because it's a complete fast. I says, okay, I'll do that because if I'm going to give up my time, I want to make sure that it's a serious time of intimacy. So I cancel my trip from August right till December. No money, oh. Well, you don't understand what I'm saying. You know, we're all working and we get our salaries and stuff. I canceled from August. I said, it's more important to spend time with you at my sacrifice. And it was absolutely amazing. Amazing that I lost 23% of my body weight. I was that big, oh. Oh, okay, that's a different story. But I felt that God wanted to spend that time with me, so He was drawing me closer. And that's what I feel that He wants to do. And even in this church this morning, I know we are busy people. I understand that. I understand you got a job. I understand you got family. I understand you got responsibilities. But God wants to spend time with us. Because He wants to put into us, listen to me now, He wants to put into us something only He can draw out of us. If He can put it in, He can draw it out. You're very quiet. If He can put it in, He knows how to draw it out. If you put it in, okay. I understand you don't know me, but by the end of the session, you'll know my heart. And it's more important to know my heart because if you trust me, as Pastor has trusted me today, if you trust me and open up your heart, God will do something incredible. In John chapter 14, He says this, trust in God, this is Jesus speaking, trust in God, trust also in me. So I want to ask you this morning, open your heart, because God's going to do something incredible today. Amen? Hallelujah. Can you turn with me, please, to Acts chapter 3? Amen. Everybody good? Yes. Hallelujah. You got to talk to me, you know, because if you don't talk to me, I start crying. I'm a bit gila because I was born near Ipoh. Near Ipoh, there's a place called Tanjung Rambutan. That Tanjung Rambutan is not a village for rambutans. Okay, it's all the gila people go there. You know, right? So that's where I was born, very near from there. Lah. So if I gila a bit, don't blame Pastor, okay? Okay lah. It's true, I was born in a place called Chimo, very near Tanjung Rambutan. Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. I heard you're doing Acts in your Bible studies every Tuesday. What time are on Tuesday? 8:30, that means you attend. That side didn't know, that's why I ask you. What chapter are you on now? 14. Wow, very good. So we're doing chapter 3 today here. Now, Peter and John went up together. One day. Everybody say one day. Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 p.m. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful. So I was reading something like this a few months ago, and God stopped me. God interrupted me. And God said, "What's happening?" I says, "Very simple, Lord." I thought maybe Lord didn't know. I thought maybe he didn't know, that's why he was asking me lah. So I said, "Lord, very simple. One day at 3 p.m, John and Peter were going up to the temple to pray." He said, "Yeah, what's happening?" So I tried to bluff my way through lah. You know, sometimes when we don't know, we make up an answer. Not you, I'm speaking about the other church. After trying to con my way through for a few moments, I says, "Lord, I don't know what's happening." So God showed me a video. And from that video, I'm going to explain to you this story. Is that okay? I said, "Is that okay?" Yeah. Hallelujah. So, about 51 days before this, Jesus died on the cross. You know that Jesus died on the cross, right? Yes. Some of you are. Really? Really? Oh, man, I didn't know. You know that Jesus died on the cross, right? Lebih kurang 51 days before this. And you know, when Jesus came on the scene, there was silence from heaven for 400 years. Between the book of Malachi and the Gospels, there was 400 years, 400 tahun of silence. Faham tak? For 400 years, there was silence from heaven. There was no fresh revelation. A lot of false prophets had risen up, but the real Messiah was still to come. Right through 400 years, and then the Gospels came. And then Jesus, when he was how many years old, he got baptized? I said, he got baptized, Jesus, in water by John the Baptist when he was... you so smart, top of the class. When he was 30 years old, he got baptized. And John said, "The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Remember that? Hallelujah. And then 3 years later, after doing all the miracles, after setting aside his apostles, after setting aside his disciples for 3 years, training them, he died on the cross. Or he was hung on the cross. And the disciples, for 3 years, they were so happy because they had waited for 400 years plus 30 years. Jesus, 30 years old at when he first came on scene. They had waited for 430 years and then they were with him for 3 years. 430 years they were waiting for him. And now the Messiah, whom they had put their trust in, was on the cross. And now he died on the cross. And they were so sad. Have we trusted the wrong person? Have we given up our careers? Have we given up our money, our wives, our home? All. Have we given up everything to die for this one whom we thought was a Messiah? If he's God, how can he die? And so now they're disappointed. For three days, Jesus went to hell. Three days later, he got up. He went to Satan, who had the keys of Hades and death. And Jesus, the one without sin, snatched the keys And forever the keys of Hades, of death, is in his hands, because the Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, except for Jesus. Jesus did not sin, hasn't fallen short of the glory of God. Jesus is the perfection that you and I could never become in that sense by following the law. So Jesus snatched the keys. So now forever he has the keys in his hands. For the next 3 days, 3 days later, when he had risen up, he started walking and talking and shake funning with the disciples and with many people. How many people seen Jesus in the next 37 days? I thought you studying the Bible. Okay, I tell you, there was more than 500 people that seen Jesus, were with Jesus for the next 37 days. Okay, if you don't trust me, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verses 5 and 6, 500 of the people plus 12 disciples plus the ladies. So lebih kurang 520 lah. Take my word for it, okay? You can check it up later on. A little bit korang, 520 people were with Jesus, ate with him. And then on the 40th day or so, Jesus went up on a cloud. Jesus went up on a cloud, and they were all so sad, because at first they were so happy for 37 days. He's alive! Woo-hoo! Yeah! Now Jesus went up on a cloud, and they and the two angels said, listen, the two angels said, why so sad? The same way he went up, he will come again. But wait in Jerusalem, according to the instructions that he gave you. So he went up, and they waited in Jerusalem, in the place called the upper room. Everybody okay so far? Are we on the same page? Hallelujah. 520, lebih kurang, 10 days later, and the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came, fire came on each head. How many people are in the upper room? In the upper room, how many people? 120, are you sure? Okay, something's wrong somewhere. 520 people, 10 days before, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, Pentecost, 120 people. If we run church like that, surely koya kaki one. If we run our businesses like that, any businessmen here? You're too shy to put up your hand. I don't want your money lah. Well, actually, I do. 520 million in your business. 10 days later, 120 million. Surely, koyak one. You understand my Malay or not? If not, I can speak Japanese. Something's wrong somewhere. 520 people to 120 people in 10 days. I've never seen this before. I've read the Bible for 29 years. 29 years. You see, your problem and my problem is this. When we read the Bible, bloop, finish. Let me do it because I was so quick. Bloop, finish. Done my spiritual duty for the day. Now I can go and get ready. Now I can go and avoid the traffic jam. Now I can go and do my other things because I've done my spiritual duty. Good morning, God. Good night, God. Thank you very much, God. See you later, God. Hallelujah, God. Not you, lah. I'm talking about the other church, lah. Something's wrong somewhere from 520 to 120. But when the day of Pentecost came, Peter stood up to preach. And how many got saved? 3,000 got saved. And a couple of days later, he preached again. And this time, 5,000 got saved. So in between that, Acts chapter 3. Now, when 3,000 get saved, there's a lot of Bible study to be done. There's a lot of discipleship making to be done. There's a lot of principles to be put in place, because they're coming out from the old system of Judaism, from Jewish culture, coming to the born-again, new covenant church. A lot of work to be done. Talk to me, love, please. Just give me half an hour of your time. This message will change you. This is not a preaching message. The principles over here will change you at your university, change you at your home, change you at your business. This is life coaching that you're going to get today. I really believe this will help you. So now, in spite of being busy, watch this. In spite of being so busy, 3,000 to disciple, John and Peter are being faithful. They go and pray 5 times a day, 6 o'clock in the morning, 9 o'clock in the morning, 12 o'clock midday, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. That's this story about. And 6 o'clock in the evening again. 5 times they go and pray. Usually they're staying within half a kilometer of the temple, of the synagogue. And so they go, they pray for between 5 and 7 minutes, and then they go back to work again. 5 times a day. The original. Young Asli. 5 times a day. Not the other one. 5 times a day. I know you and I can pray every second of every day. I know we have that privilege. But sometimes we forget about that privilege. You and I, we take communion. Roti. Ah, okay, fine. We forget about the new covenant and the fullness of it. Is that okay? Can I speed up now? Are you still paying attention? Have I got your attention right now? Now, John and Peter going up to the temple to pray at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Hallelujah. They're busy people. You and I are busy people. But we need to learn a lesson from them. In spite of being busy, you and I need to make time for prayer. And most of our prayers are wrong. Don't look at me like that, la. Most of our prayers are like this. Help me, bless me, tickle me, favor me. It's all about me, and don't forget me. When we pray, we're all asking for ourselves. You follow me. I'm here to challenge you this morning. With grace and with love, I've come with a message of the revelation for what God wants to prepare us for. I see this morning that your children are being so much more prepared. Sometimes our children are ready for revival, but we are not. I pray for children all around the world. I pray for young people like yourself. That's why I came to say hello to you, 3 people. Remember when you were checking that Facebook about me? I pray for young people, youth conferences all around the world. And I tell you something, sometimes the young people are ready for it. And we old people, not we la, you old people, I am young. I'm 21 plus plus. Sometimes us older people, what we say is this, leave it to the young people to do. They are ready for it. I'm tired. I've done my bit. Now I pass the baton on. Not you, Lord, the other church, and I do you. John and Peter going up to the temple to pray. Let me give you 5 qualities. Put your phone on, write it down. Put your phone on, audio the message. Put your phone on or write your message or something. 5 things about faithful people. Okay? Say faithful people. 5 things about faithful people. Make sure you write it down. You follow these principles. I guarantee you'll get promoted at work. Your boss will neglect the 99 and promote you. Faithful people are always on time. Before time. If you're on time, you're already late. Hey, excuse me, pastor didn't give me a call. Pastor Cool, please tell them to be early. Pastor didn't tell me that. I just know from churches I travel all around the world that Christians are always running late because of traffic jam, children, the husband, the cat, the dog. Okay, lah. I better not joke anymore. Somebody at the back there showing me the fist already. Is that fivefold glory? Okay. Number one, they're always before time. Number two, they're always energetic. Hello? They're always energetic. You do this, what I'm doing here, you do it at your work, and the boss will come to you, excuse me, are you on drugs? I get asked that all the time. And I say, yes. Diet Coke. Number three, or whatever number. Faithful people always have passion. The reason you have passion, listen to me now. The reason you have passion is because you have passion for the things you love for. When I play football, right? I'm the noisiest guy on the football. The ball might be 10 miles away, if you know what I mean. The ball might be on the other end. Hey! 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 And the reason is, before I became a Christian, I was the noisiest guy in the pub. My friends would come into the pub and it's crowded in Aberdeen in Scotland. They say, we don't know where Cool is, but we can hear him. And then they see me standing on the table and, come on, baby, light my fire. Come on, lad, don't look at me like that. And then we become Christians, we come to the church. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the Holy voice. Pastor says, raise up your hand. Raise up both hands. Wave it about. I don't know how come we change when we become Christians. In the pub, oh, you're my hero. Come on, baby. We come to church. Squeak, squeak. Squeak, squeak. We become like the church mouse. You understand what I'm saying? We've got to have the Lion of Judah in here instead of the Tikus of Judah. Not you, the other church, you know what I mean. Okay. Faithful people are always very determined to go after the things of their heart. See, when we were non-Christians, we go after the things of our wallet. Hello? Hey, if I do something wrong, maybe God phones me up, you know. If it's a message from God, tell them, sorry, Lord, I repent. You okay so far? Okay. They're always very determined. Before I was a Christian, I was only determined by my wallet. By my money. But once I became what God told me and led me, then we become determined according to the vision. According to the vision. Touch your friend and say, what's your vision? Come on, touch the person. What's your vision? Tell them God will... Don't be quiet. Tell God will give you a fresh vision today. Tell them. Here's a dangerous one. Faithful people are always generous. Dangerous talking about money, right? I think we should go to the roti canai shop and continue our conversation. You're so quiet. You think, what's Pastor up to? But just write it down. I've got no time to explain it. But you know what I mean, because I know Pastor's a man after God's own heart. Remember Acts chapter 13? You done that last week, isn't it? Verse 22, God loved David so much because God knew that he had a heart after God, because he will do everything that God told him to do. Amen? Can I teach you a four-letter word? Don't look at me like that. The word is amen. Not the other word you're thinking of. Amen means I believe it. Amen means I want it. Amen means let's confirm it. I agree with the word. That's what amen means. And friends, we've got to use that word. We use the other word all the time. Don't look at me like that. Hey. Okay, next one. Faithful people are more blessed. They've got the favor of the Lord upon them. Faithful people never look for opportunities, because opportunities look for them. Don't miss this. I know I'm taking my time. I know I'm too late. I understand. Faithful people never look for opportunities, because they've been walking in faithfulness. Opportunities look for them. The Bible says, surely goodness and mercy and loving kindness will chase after you, overtake you all the days of your life. That means opportunities look for you. Your boss will come and say, you've been working so faithfully, I want to promote you. You've been working so well, I want to give you a bonus, a gratis promotion. See, we think only Pastor Stefan, only myself, we are in full time. All of us are in full time. I said all of us are in full time, including to you two young fellas. All of us are full time, because full time means full on. We can have people working in the ministry 40 hours a week, right? They're not full time. They're lepak. Hey, 23 years ago I went to Australia, okay? I lived in Scotland for 20 years. And if God showed me that my elder daughter would have 3 car accidents, and my younger girl, the one I talked about when Jesus came to me, she was being born, would have 2 car accidents, my church would split many times. I don't have a church now. It would split many times. And my wife would just get sad about it, you know, because our wife sometimes carries our man's burdens. Oh, you don't know what I mean, but that's a different story. I would say, Lord, please don't send me to Australia. Send me to Hawaii. Send Pastor David to Australia. I don't want that trouble. You understand what I mean? But I'm glad God didn't show me, because we have to walk by faith and not by sight. We have to walk step by step in obedience. And every time we walk through a test, he promotes us. He tests us. That's why he said our prayers are long. Please help me, Lord. Please bless me, Lord. I need no finances, Lord. I need health, Lord. I need. He knows what we need. The reason it comes our way is because we're supposed to be overcomers. It's not supposed to overcome us. Come on, friends. 15 minutes. Give me 15 minutes. Is that okay? I said, is that okay? Is that okay this side? You're very quiet, huh? Just because pastors are sitting in the front row. Back row, is it okay? 15 minutes. Yes. Hallelujah. Said so they're going up to the temple at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And a man was being carried.
You follow what I mean? Every day, somebody who was faithful with his energy, with his time, with his availability, was carrying somebody else nearer to that point. This gate's called beautiful. Every day, somebody would put here. So in fact, in the synagogue, the blind, the leprous, the sick, the untouchables of society would all line up there to beg for money. This gate is called beautiful, but it's not beautiful. It's actually hideous. It's actually pitiful. The sight over here is disastrous. People with leprosy, their skin's falling off. The blind are there. The mute is there. The untouchables of society are there. From this side of the gate, wow! Keith, come and help me on the keyboards. Just Keith at the moment. Keyboard. It is Keith, isn't it? Oh. Ian, thank you, Ian. I wanted to give you a new name, but never mind. If you're happy with Ian, oh, you rang me up last... No, that's a different story. On this side, just play softly. On this side of the gate, wow, the splendor of the Lord. Everything is so beautiful. Everything is so perfect. It's all gold. It's all lovely. There's no sickness on this side. But on this side, it's yucky, yucky. Yucky, yucky, no touchy. On this side, it's horrible. But somebody was being faithful to bring the yucky, yucky to this point because they could only come. Ian, softly, please. On this side, they could only come to a certain point. You and I are called to be faithful. But we are so busy. We're running late. In this church, I'm not jacking up the pastor, but I am lah. Everybody shook hands with me today. I seen the kids outside with their boards. You coming to church today, that beautiful thing. All the kids are shaking hands and all you people, wonderful people, shaking hands. I'm so blessed. I go to many places in the world. Please listen. They don't even shake my hands. They suspect I'm the speaker. I come in early. They just leave me on my own. There's no hospitality, but there's so much here. Thank you. Thank you, church. Thank you. Thank you to your amazing pastors. Amazing pastors who train their people. Thank you for being trained. Thank you for volunteering to be trained in the army of the Lord. We're not doing it for pastor, we're doing it for God. But God has allowed pastor be a senior shepherd of this church, the apostle, the father of the house of this church, to train us in the way we should go. Thank you for being trained. And if you feel guilty right now, good. But do it next week. Do it next week. Amen. Hallelujah. So somebody, again that word faithful, faithfulness. Hey, don't go away, I'm not finished yet. I'm just joking, sorry. Hallelujah, God. Arigato gozaimasu. Sorry, she was so bursting to the toilet. And sorry, husband. Okay. I want to be serious. Like, come on, pastor's looking at me. No, he's not. Watch this. Be faithful. Because if you can be faithful in the house of God, in the world of God, in the world, cosmos, in the world, you'll be faithful as well. If you cannot be faithful in the house, how can we be faithful in the world? The world is our place, lah. The world is our family, just because they're not saved yet. I got thousands of stories on healing, thousands of people coming to the Lord, thousands, hundreds of Jesus encountering people. When he physically encountered me, physically, it was this distance. Jesus came to me, this distance, 10 feet away, this distance. For the first time, I knew that he's the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. Prior to this, I come out from a Hindu background. 300 million gods. 300 million. Punjabi culture. Sapalo Guru. And the 11th one is a book. And we bow down to the book. We don't even bow down to the Bible. You ask them now, come on, you can challenge any of your Hindu family, any of your Hindu friends. They say, we have to be reincarnated until we become perfect. Say, that's very good. Tell them, that's very good. Then ask them a question, how many times do you have to be reincarnated? They'll say, I don't know. Then you tell them, 3 million times. It's true. 3 million times to become perfect. Eh, mana boleh lah? Tak boleh lah. Yes or not? You create doubt in them first. And then you put in truth. Jesus says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to me except the Father, by the Father. No one comes to the Father except by him. Jesus says, just have to come to him. We don't have to come to him 3 million times. You follow me? Okay, hurry, in 5 minutes, finish in five. You can time me. Don't time me. So, John and Peter were going to the temple. This blind man, this lame man, lame. Hey! No, not you, lah. Don't worry. Unless you got money. You got money or not? Boleh. Hey! Give me some money! Peter and John. Don't have any money. Silver or gold, I have none. Wait, one second, First thing Peter and John said was, Hey, look at us. Look at us. You know why? Let me tell you why. This man asking for Peter and John's money, but he's been distracted. Everybody's going into the church because temple, synagogue. And so Peter and John wanted to attract, focus their attention. When we pray for people for healing, focus their attention. Hey, look at us. And then he said, silver or gold I have none. But what has he got? Well, one or two days before, the fire of God, the Pentecost of God, on the 50th day, the fire of God came on Peter. And on the rest, the other 119 plus Peter, 120, fire of God came. Peter stood up, he preached, and 1,000 got saved. 3,000. 3,000. If tomorrow 3,000 get saved and they come here, Pastor alone and Pastor Stefan alone, it's not enough for 3,000 people. We need your help. We need your help, every man, every woman, every child, to be in the army of God for the discipleship of the nation. I came here this year. I did a Singapore church camp. We went to Malacca in about April. And I tell you something, the spiritual situation in Malaysia is being changed because of your prayer and my prayer and hundreds and thousands of people praying for this great nation. When you pray, God answers. But when God answers, When God answers, be prepared to come into action. Don't say, God, send pastor. God, send pastor. God, send that one. Send this one. God says, no, I'm training you. That's why Moses stood up and said, here I am. Abraham said, here I am. Samuel said 5 times, here I am. Ezekiel said, here I am. Isaiah said, thank you, thank you. Everybody else has fallen asleep. Thank you, sister. God bless you. Aragata. Here I am is a great prayer. Silver, gold, I have none, but what I have got, the power of Pentecost. The Bible says the same power that raised up Jesus from the dead is in you and in me. Silver, gold, I have none, but what I've got, I give you. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk. And then he put his hand there and pulled him up. Pulled him up. Don't wait and say, silver, gold, I have none. What I've got, I give you. Get up and walk. Help them. The Bible says, let's do it the Bible way. Grip him by the righteous right hand. Pulled him up. And the man pushed. The man cooperated, pushed. The man participated, pushed. Everybody say pushed. Don't wait it for it like automatic, like you go into a lift. Top floor. Ding! The man got up, walking and leaping and praising the Lord. Walking and leaping and praising the Lord. Come on, say it with me. Walking and leaping and praising the Lord. And for the first time, everybody say first time. For the first time then, he got from this side, from the untouchable side, from the sinner side, from the weakness side, from the ugly side, from the disaster side, for the first time. Wow. 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 The God of heaven who made this place my dwelling place, so that I can enjoy the splendor and the beauty of the Lord. Wow. How did it happen? Very simple. Somebody was faithful every day. Every day. Every day. Every day. Every single day. Made himself available. Time, effort, energy. And then Peter and John being faithful again. Silver, gold, I have none, to pray. And that cooperation of faithfulness from one to the other made this guy come in to this side. Our jobs. You watch Mission Impossible? Our job, if you choose to accept it, is to bring people from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. Because, not of beautiful, but because of the blood of Jesus. Because of the blood of Jesus, you and I are qualified to be full-time, full-on. If you're at university, you're full-on at university. Don't compromise your faith. If you're a mother taking care of the children, you're full on, like how you take care of these beautiful children. Sunday school teachers, full on. Men in business, full on. I got 1,000 things to say, but I love to pray for you. I honestly do. I carry an anointing for breakthrough. I carry an anointing for miracles. I don't boast. I don't go back and say, Lord, how great am I? Remember that song? How great thou art? Remember? I don't go in front of the mirror and say, how great I am. Don't look at me so holy. Come on. I go back to my room and I go on my knees. Thank you for all the miracles, Lord. That's great for them. They untung, they gain. My desire is, draw me close to you. Never let me go. My desire is to come closer to him every day of my life. Jesus physically came to me 29 years ago.
took me out from the kingdom of darkness. I was orang buruk lah, that book, from rogue, from a rascal, from a... I got no time to tell you that story. You can read it. By the way, it's in Vietnamese, it's in Chinese, it's in Bahasa, and it's in English. If you don't, just buy one. Just buy one. I guarantee you, you will hate the book. The people in New Zealand tell me, cool, we love you, but your book is too challenging. Because I challenge people. When you see somebody in the supermarket, what's your supermarket called here? Giant and all that. You go there, you see somebody like that. The book challenges you. The anointing in you. Listen to me. The anointing in you is to make you like Jesus. Okay, now I'm on overtime already, huh? I'm on overtime already. That means double pay, you know. Sunday. What's your name? Ann. Oh, you're so nice, Ann. And will you say loudly with everybody, the anointing in me is to make me like Jesus. The anointing on me is for others. One more time. The anointing in me is to make me like Jesus. The anointing on me is for others. So the anointing upon you is so that you can go and pray for somebody else. At Giant, at Lotus, you know Lotus? Anybody want to take me out for lunch, Lotus? Thank you. Today, tomorrow, Monday, or York? This side, anybody on this side? Thank you, sister. Okay. Serious now. Draw me close to you, okay? Okay, here. If you need healing of any kind, internal, external, mental, emotional, what's that one call, huh? Financial. Thank you. Any kind of healing. And if you don't need financial healing, give it to Pastor, because we have a vision. The mission is to take the gospel to the far ends of the world. That's a mission. You got mission sending team. Or come with me to Indonesia. I'm going to speak to Pastor this afternoon. We're going to talk, plan ahead kind of thing. Listen, the money upon you, the money in you is for your family, your holiday, your new car. Say it! The money on you is for others. You have to be blessed both ways. You cannot give and give and give, and you cannot keep and keep and keep. Do you know what I mean? God wants to bless us. He's looking for people who he can trust. I got millions of stories, honestly, about finances. So whatever your healing is, financial, emotional, mother-in-law problems, Malaysia boleh! Every kind is okay. Serious now. We're going to sing this song. Draw me close to you. And what I'm going to do is this. I'm going to minister for 5 minutes. Listen to me, please. I'm going to minister for 5 minutes. And then in 5 minutes' time, 4.5 minutes' time, Pastor David is going to come, close the service and bless you all kind of thing. I'll stop ministry. I'll sit down for a minute. And then Pastor will release me to minister again. Today's a special day. I know you have lunch. I know the Roti Canai shop is waiting for you. I know the Lotus is waiting for you. I know. But if you can, linger in the spirit. Have you seen an eagle? Have you seen a bird? Have you seen a pigeon? Sometimes just lingering
floating about. God wants to do something. Our problem is this. We want chapat, 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 ah! Our problem is we like McDonald's. Remember, we went to McDonald's today? What's your order? Okay, one cheeseburger, one coffee. Yeah, hurry up, huh? Hurry up. I'm running late. Hurry up. We treat God like that. Not you, lah, the other church, lah. Hurry up, huh? I got an appointment with father-in-law, mother-in-law. I think God is scared of your mother-in-law as well. Mother-in-law, please forgive me. Okay, lah, serious. We're going to sing this song. Once we sing it through once, you just stand up. Keep your eyes closed. Focus on the cross. Focus on the cross because of the power of the cross. Then I'm going to minister for 3 minutes because my time's gone. 3 minutes. And then Pastor David is going to come, close the service, and then I'll stop, and then later on I'll minister again. Okay? Is that fine? You focus on the Lord for 3 minutes, please. 180 seconds. Come on, stand up.